Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's a click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rain. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game. Better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's a click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rain. From the track when we...
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert. I'm joined, as always, by AD Bogataliva, and I want to make mention that we are a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Get all your show reviews, all that stuff. Go to voicesofwrestling.com. Go to flagshippatriot.com for all that stuff. We used we use our older intro because JD and I decided to get our own StreamYard accounts. That way we're not leeching off of our buddy anymore. And we have not uploaded everything just yet. My computer took a shit. So we're starting off hot today.
Did I have the wrong intro again?
Yeah, so we were supposed to have the one with the Voices of Wrestling intro on it.
Oh, shit. God.
Just unplug my headphones, too.
That's funny. Okay, well, JD is plugging in his headphones.
Jesus Christ, man. We're off. Like, this show is born under a bad sign today.
Yeah. Yeah, this show is starting off hot. We don't have the right software. We didn't have the right videos. We didn't have all that stuff. And I worked right up until the minute I was supposed to come on because my phone is just like nonstop. And I told everybody they just got to leave me alone for a little while. So it's been a heck of a week, here. So, you know, last week, I think we left everybody on a cliffhanger about this top secret deal that I had going on. So we'll start the show off with that. And I think I was in the Discord and I was in Slack and a couple other places. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've already seen this. But so last week, I was notified right before I went on there that I had to go out to a location to meet the Secretary of Defense. And I was just like, why? Like, what did I do? They're like, oh, well, you're getting recognized for outstanding performance. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a good thing. I was like, well, what did you guys tell them? They go, well, you'll find out when you get there. And I was like, is any of it true? And they go, yes, it's all very true. And so they said some nice things about me, which was very cool. And it was on the same day that I was celebrating 20 years in the Air Force. And so that would just happen to be like a happy coincidence. So I know I said something ominous last week, but I was not supposed to say that the Secretary of Defense was here, but then it ended up getting covered on the news like on Friday night. And so, like the local news, everybody had it. So, and my picture's all over the DOD Facebook accounts and all that stuff from meeting the secretary. So there you go. That's what I was doing last week that I could not talk about.
Mike, I'm so proud of you. Like for that, I legitimately, from the bottom of my heart, one of my dearest friends, very, very proud of you for this huge accomplishment. Now I want you to tell the people who are listening to the show what your chief told you before this meeting.
I was given strict instructions not to ask the Secretary of Defense about aliens, and I abided by that. I didn't do any of that. I was not a complete embarrassment. I did not ask about the aliens, although I get the feeling he knows. Like, he just seems like a guy that would know. And he knows where they're hiding. He knows which contractors have them, and where they're moving them to next, because we're on to them, you know.
That is, dude, you texted us that in our buddy, and you're like, I'm meeting the Secretary of Defense, and the chief specifically told me not to ask about aliens. I was literally in class, looked at my Fitbit, and could not stop laughing, and could not tell the kids why I was laughing. So
yeah,
thank you for making my day last week. And seriously, on a serious note, congratulations. That's a hell of an achievement. And I do hope that someday we learn about the aliens.
I hope that someday I'm like important enough that they'll just tell me. Just like, look, Mike, you can't tell anybody else, but we're going to tell you.
And that's why they're not going to.
No, they're not, because they know that I'm going to be immediately in like our group chat.
But exactly. Geneva,
right here.
Mm-hmm. I will get a text 5 minutes after you learn, because I assume Ashley will go first, and then I will be second to know that the aliens are in fact here.
Yes, yes. That absolutely is going to happen. But like I said, I've had a hell of a week. I typically do a format for the show. And once again, this month, it's been a very busy month, very busy, like 6 weeks. I have no format. We have a couple of topics that JD and I just kind of tossed around, but you, the audience, I want you guys to chime in. Let us know what you guys want to talk about. Throw some questions our way. Throw some super chats our way, and we'll tackle whatever you guys want to talk about, man. But how was your week, JD?
Oh, busy. I finished up grad school, straight A's, second semester, and then we started the summer session right away. So I have 9 hours over the summer. I just have to knock this thing out, man. I just got to get it done. I made a big decision that I'm going to tell you before I tell everybody else. Remind me after the show. And then okay. I don't want to speak it into existence quite yet, because I'm not quite ready to tell everybody, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So yeah. I'll tell you this first. And it's nothing important. It's just something important to me. Otherwise, you know, mental health wise, think I'm doing good. I think everything is going good. I had one of our security guards told me that I looked clean today. Huh. That's what the kids say is cool, with the headband and the hair slit hanging over the headband. So I texted my wife immediately and says, I have bad news. The headband is staying for the rest of the summer. I'll cut my hair and get rid of the headband when next school year starts. Because I had someone grab me in the hall and go, JD, we got to talk. And there's this older guy in my department. I said, what's up? He goes, what's with the headbands? I said, I don't know. I just kind of feel like wearing them, because I've been doing this every day for the last 2 weeks. And he's like, are you trying to make a stand against the administration? I said, no, I get along with our administration. I said, I don't know, man. Our jobs are boring. I'm trying to have fun. And plus, I'm in the t-shirt shop every day dealing with like ink and power and pressure washers and stuff like that. And it's messy. So, you know, I don't know, man, trying to have some fun. And apparently when you're trying to have fun as a teacher, it gets people all wonky. So, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. You're kind of like in that mode where teachers are not supposed to be fun. Like, I don't think like they want someone to be like the fun teacher, but that's kind of like, cause you're not even Mr. Oliva, right? You're just JD at school.
It depends. Some of the I didn't want to necessarily be JD, but when I've been JD with the wrestlers for the last 8 years, and they walk in the first day of school and like, JD, what are you doing here? So like, that's how and that spreads. So like the younger kids typically call me Mr. Oliva, and then they get into the second year of graphics, and it's like, hey, JD, what's up? Which is funny, because the other teachers come in my classroom. They go, hey, JD, I have a question for you. Like, I don't even care. I would rather be called by my first name. That's weird, because no one has ever, I'm sure people have called you Gilbert your whole life, right?
Yeah. Like, just playing sports, like Gilbert is kind of like what my name is. Yeah.
I have never been referred to by my last name ever. It's always been JD, because I just have two letters, you know, it's easy.
I'm JD. Yeah. Yeah. It's much easier. And in football, your name's on your, well, actually in my high school, we didn't put the last name on the back of the jerseys, but we had it on our jackets and the other stuff. But you know, we weren't like a very prestigious school. So you had to give that jersey back at the end of the year, and somebody else got to wear it next year. That's kind of how our school was. So we didn't actually have our names on them, but that was the mentality behind it. In baseball, I played baseball from they called it midget league back then, but I don't think you can say that anymore, but I think it's called coach pitch now. But I played from coach pitch all the way up to my freshman year. And I always had my name on the back of my jersey, and it was always just Gilbert. So that's kind of what people called me.
You know what I had on my Letterman jacket? I had JD.
He's JD. Yeah.
It's just JD. Like, so whatever. I could care less if people call me that. Yeah. So
it's fine. Well, my airmen at work, they call me Master Sergeant Gilbert, Sergeant, or Sir. And I'll have nothing else because we got to stick with protocol, my man. At least, you know, in the military, a little bit different.
You're in the military. I'm teaching kids how to make T-shirts and use Photoshop and some video stuff on occasion. You're getting awards from the Secretary of Defense. I'm speaking to people from Huddle. Like, you know, it's like not even we're not even in the same universe, man.
Yeah. But we're bringing up young people and hopefully they'll listen to us and hopefully we'll continue to be successful. Hey, so I wanted, did you see the, I know you didn't watch Backlash. I watched Backlash. I did a recap of Backlash over on the Patreon and then I eventually released it on YouTube. So head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. You could have heard it there first. I also did Brace for Impact over the weekend. And then JD and I, we did an overtime on Sunday night where we kind of, like, the main topic of discussion was the fallout of the Shadow Man episode because last Shadow Man was quite polarizing last week. Is what it's probably my favorite episode we've ever done. I love it because nothing's ever been that polarizing before, and I think that's awesome.
I'll say this: no one has ever shut me up on my own show quite like the Shadow Man did. So that in itself, very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a bunch of texts from, you know, several different people, and we talked about it on Patreon, but a bunch of different texts, and a lot of them said one word or, you know, one name, Jinder Mahal, with exclamation point and question marks after it. So I knew as soon as he said that we were going to take a lot of heat, and boy, did we. And I, like, good heat. I think people were having fun with it.
Yeah, because people know us. But I thought I still was hilarious that the Shadow Man's solution to AEW's problem was to sign more ex-WWE talent and to give Jinder the World Heavyweight Championship.
It wouldn't have been so bad, but he said Jinder, and I think that's what set everybody off. But
it was the hey, you know, we didn't talk about last week since we have no format. You texted me. We never talked about Gable Steveson.
Yeah. So go ahead. So WWE released Gable Steveson. Look, you had brought this up like a year ago.
I told you
it was probably not going to work out. And they released him and the timing of it was kind of awful, right?
So this is what pisses me off, right? Again, it doesn't take much to get JD pissed off about WWE. Here's what pisses me off. Gable gets released last week, right? To me, he's Gable, right? He's Gable Steveson. Like, say what you want about the guy. He's a controversial figure. I'm not going to talk about that. My concern with Gable is, as far as the United States goes, right? Gable Steveson is the defending Olympic champion. WWE, Nick Khan, Triple Dipshit, all these guys wait until 2 weeks after the Olympic trials to cut Gable Steveson. These motherfuckers knew, and I talked about this with my buddy Pete, Reattack on Twitter. These motherfuckers knew they were going to release Gable Steveson and chose to wait till after the trials to make sure to screw over the U.S. Mason Paris is good. There's a chance Mason Paris takes bronze, maybe silver. I don't think he's going to win a gold medal. Gable Steveson wins a gold medal, but they had to just make sure because TKO made sure to screw over the United States, right? Thank you, WWE. Thank you, Triple H. Oh, I'm being like Jimmy Van right now and thanking assholes. Thank you guys for fucking over the US of A. Yeah, pieces of shit.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on this comment here, but we'll just say that one's pretty stiff, North. That's even stiff for me.
Even me, even I think that's a little extreme. I don't think I could take it to that extreme. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like button. Make sure you're a subscriber. Make sure you're sharing this. And you can also see the god awful comment that King of the North just made that JD and I won't even say, but I made sure to pull it up on the screen. So
if you're listening to the podcast, go over to the YouTube version and see King's comment because that was, it even made Mike and I shut up a little bit. Yeah, man, I'm not happy. Like I told you when this happened, I remember talking to you, me and Garrett. When he first got signed, I said, this isn't going to work. Gable doesn't have that kind of personality. It's just not him. And like, not everyone that transitions from amateur wrestling into professional wrestling is Kurt Angle. Right. And Kurt was way more entertaining than anybody in the amateur world thought he was going to be when he came over. Like, nobody saw that coming. Gable has never been that dynamic of a personality. right? He just, he's kind of a dickhead, but not like, I'm talking personality wise, I'm not talking about anything else, but he's never struck me as having that kind of charisma. Phenomenal athlete, possibly the greatest US heavyweight of all time. We'll never really know. But I mean, like, and then, so I told you, I said, this isn't going to work. And I was right. It didn't work. He never quite got it. They spent a lot of money and got nothing in return, really. And, you know, they wouldn't let him wrestle. He wanted to go back to college and do another year. They wouldn't let him do it. He wanted to wrestle in the trials. He wanted to wrestle in the U.S. Open. They wouldn't let him wrestle in the U.S. Open. They wanted to wrestle in the trials. They wouldn't let him wrestle in the trials. They had to make sure to deny him everything that he could have done and then cut him after the U.S. Open. Fuckers.
Yeah.
I will never let that go.
Because if he was able to go, I mean, we're talking.
We win.
Like, yeah, we win, right? I mean.
I mean, not for sure.
He's like, the best in our country, probably the best in the world right now, right?
I mean, he had to have a huge comeback in 21 to beat Akul from Turkey. Like, it was, there is some controversy too with the way he won the gold medal, but I mean, it was verified on the mat. You know, freestyle is kind of weird. Is that in freestyle you have three officials, right? And they have to come to a consensus, best two out of three on the call to get the call. So there's a weird call at the end. Like, it just, it wasn't terrible, but it was weird. And so a little controversial. So it would have been him. It would have been the two of them. It would have been the Akul from Turkey and Gable. Those are your top two guys. And probably Gino Pescivilli from Georgia. Those are still your best heavyweights. So he's right there, right? Silver at worst. And now, I mean, Mason Paris is good. Mason Paris will do fine. Gable teched Mason Paris 2 years ago when they wrestled. Mason Paris, very good. Not as good as Gable Steveson. So, like, that's what makes me mad. It's like, we had a chance from the U.S. We don't even have, because in the Olympics, you just don't get to go. Like, we had the Olympic trials a couple weeks ago, and not all the weights are qualified for the Olympics. So, like, if you go to the World Championships, you can just go and wrestle, and everybody can wrestle in the Worlds. In the Olympics, you have to qualify your weight. So whoever's representing your weight class at certain tournaments, they have to finish in a certain place to make sure your country is represented at the weight. The problem we have in Greco. In Greco, we don't have very many weights qualified right now. So there's a tournament going on in Istanbul this weekend, and it's not going great for the Greco team. My buddy, one of the guys I used to coach, who's now in his 30s, he 8 years ago, he won the spot. He won the trials. He did Joe Rao. I wrote about him for Bike Game. He qualified the spot. No, he did not. He won the spot, but failed to qualify the weight class. So he won the trials, but didn't get to go. Right. Then 21, he qualified the weight class on his own. He got screwed. And when I say he got screwed, like, they sued and had to go to arbitration with USA Wrestling because of corrupt officiating, but he did not get the spot in 2021. And that guy got wrecked. So my buddy Joe Rao finally wins this. Finally, he not only did he qualify the weight class, but he secured the spot, and he's finally going to the Olympics at 33. His third Olympics, he's finally secured it. So it's hard, man. It's hard just to qualify your weight for the Olympics. And the fact that we had a guy who's a for sure medalist not wrestle for freestyle, it's mind-boggling to me, and it really disappoints me. I know everyone wants to listen to my freestyle wrestling thoughts, so you know, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, coming soon could be coming more, or more could be coming soon to the Patreon. So hopefully here pretty soon. But I think that he's going to go into MMA.
I think so.
I get the feeling that TKO is very likely to assign him to the UFC, probably even without a fight. Probably just bring him straight to the UFC and give him an opportunity. I mean, he very well could go to, like, the independent circuit and kind of do a couple one-offs, but I get the feeling that UFC is just going to bring him right in. Kind of like they did. I think they did the same thing with Bo Nickel. They brought him in for Dana White's looking for a fight. Or what do they call it? I can't remember. Dana White's Contender Series. That's what it's called. Sorry. Dana White's Contender Series. I think they bring him in on doing something like that, and he'll probably be signed right away. So, because he's just like a next level. And Bo Nickel, his last fight wasn't very good, but he is a very good fighter already, and I think he's going to be a champion one day.
Bo Nickel's a hell of a prospect. He's still learning the game. Bo Nickel was good. He was a Hodge winner. Hodge is like our Heisman in college wrestling.
Yeah.
But Bo didn't have the freestyle accolades that Gable did. Like, Bo was good, but Gable is at another level. That being said, is Gable going to transition to MMA? It's not that easy. It's not that easy. Like, can he wrestle some? Can he pass guard? Right. That's critical. Can he strike? That's critical, right? Daniel Cormier managed to get by mainly. I mean, he got some good jiu-jitsu. Oh, I appreciate. I can see that Cormier would like a guy like Steve said. He would 100%.
Yeah. So Cormier really developed his boxing skills. I think he was a very underrated striker. Mm-hmm. He never really had the Muay Thai game. Like, he never really incorporated a lot of kicks or anything. But his submission game was very good, and his boxing was incredible for a guy that picked it up in like his 30s, right? So
yeah,
like he was just like a next. He's like Randy Couture. Same thing. Randy Couture started in his 30s, and he turned out to be a pretty good boxer, although he did box in the army a little bit, but he was predominantly a wrestler. But I see that we're losing numbers, so we'll probably move off of this, but I think that we'll probably see him sooner rather than later in the UFC. So I started off talking about Backlash because I wanted to talk about the presser afterwards. Oh, yeah. And Triple H essentially embarrassing himself. So they had this French guy ask Triple H a question about the releasing Drew Gulak, right? He released Drew Gulak, and he said that PW Insider and I believe Fightful reported that they released Drew Gulak, and it has something to do with Ronda Rousey or something like that. And Triple H got all hot at the guy and said, "You need to find better sources," and he totally shit all over Fightful and PW Insider. They ended up sending Sean Ross Sapp a cheese board of all things. Which I thought would be hilarious.
Is that a gag, or they actually send Sean Ross Sapp a cheese board?
They did send him a cheese board because he said the only way I'll accept their apology is if they send me a cheese board. He was making fun of Alfred, and they sure as shit sent him a cheese board. So I found that to be kind of funny. But here's what Lucas said that they told him after he asked his question.
I knew because one of the PR, as soon as I sent my question to Triple H, said to me, "What a dumb thing to do." And so I knew there was going to be backlash online, but I wasn't.
Somebody from WPR said that was. Sorry, Lucas. Somebody from WPR said that was a dumb thing to do to ask your question.
Yeah, right after I asked it, he looked at me and said, "What a dumb thing to do."
LaGentle's a bitch.
Yeah. So. That is the WWE. And if you guys wonder why a lot of these podcasters and the Denise Salcedo types and Chris Van Vliet, when they go over there and they want to just ask, you know, vapid, Joe Lanza used the word vapid. It's my word now, Joe. I'm taking it. I love it so much. I use it at work now. But like a stupid vapid question, that's why they are absolutely afraid to lose access. While at the same time, guys like Brandon Thurston and John Alba and others, I think Houseman, when he used to go, he would ask like real questions. But these other folks are thinking that they won't get access anymore. And here's this guy saying, WWE PR told me that's a dumb thing to do, to ask that question. And it's very much out there now. So people have been put on notice.
That's what's great. I'm so glad he talked about this. It's funny, too, because this happened right at the time when Joe blew, he didn't really blow the lid off it, but Joe's the one who really got the conversation going about what's happening with LaGentle and the PR team, right? And they didn't want this. And here's what's funny, is that Triple H, this reminded me of the me and my friend Mark conversation. Like, I've never seen such thin skin when he gets questions that he doesn't like. Like, even Vince would kind of like tap dance around things usually, except for the Costas thing that was, you know, classic TV. But I mean, like, oh, Triple H, Triple Paul, I'm not going to use what the King said. Like, he just does not handle these things well when people don't genuinely. And here's why, is because he's so insecure, right? Yeah. The Triple H era, you guys are calling this now. And not me, I ain't going to call it that. But that's what you guys want to call it, the Triple H era. Like, Cody finished his story. The Rock came back. And somehow that guy made the show all about him. Right? Where Cody had to come out and genuflect in front of him. Like, he's so shallow. Like, for the amount of crap that Tony Khan takes on, this guy is so insecure and doom. He would be building statues in his own if he could get it. Like, and to just to handle a simple question, that's all that was, is a simple question with so disdain for the past. It's absolutely remarkable, but people will still kiss his butt because they like his shows.
Yeah. And the question wasn't even like a crazy question. Drew Gulak had just gotten released. the Ronda Rousey story had broken a couple weeks prior to that. We hadn't seen him on TV since then. I think it was a pretty safe assumption that the Ronda Rousey drawstring comment had something to do with that. Had she not made that comment, he might very well still be in the WWE right now. But they said, no, we didn't fire him. We did not release him. We chose not to extend his contract. Renew his contract. They're not exactly the same, but it's pretty close to the same thing, right? Like, yes, you didn't fire him, but he's still out of a job today. And would he still have that job had that incident not occurred? I get the feeling that that is the case. And he got so insulted by that. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll be honest. Like, I don't think AEW or WWE, if they can't put out somebody like in front that is good at these press conferences, I mean, I think they're stupid anyway. They should probably just stop doing them because they're kind of embarrassing at this point, although they do give us content.
Yeah, why would they stop? Why would we say that? Keep doing them. Yeah. It's great for our...
Actually, yeah, never mind. Keep doing them.
Yeah, it's great for what we do. How stupid they are. Yeah. Like, that, I agree with you. Nobody is smooth. Like, and you want to put the face of your company out there. Tony used to be better at these things, but now that he's getting actual criticism, he doesn't handle them real well. Like, since the Punk debacle, and they have not gone well. Triple H is just so... He's just so insecure, right? And it just... I mean, it's a simple question. And then the story comes out that Gulak was a bully in NXT. Like, he would go after people and just was really kind of a dick. And it's just like, oh, okay. Why didn't you just go, yeah, it was time to move on. Or no, you know, we just thought it was time to move on. Gulak, thank you. Is that hard? Is that hard to do? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like, look, you know, after that occurred, we started hearing other stories. And you know what? Yeah. Like you said, JD, time to move on. We don't want that guy around anymore. We're moving on. Yeah. And, you know, but instead he made it like a big deal. Like, had he not answered it the way he had answered it, if people would have just moved on, it wouldn't have been a big deal, but he had to be a dick about it. And now we're still talking about it almost a week later.
Because he thinks he's witty. He's never been witty. Like, you go back and watch those Attitude Era Raws, he's making like 13-year-old jokes. Like, he's not a funny guy and never has been. Like, some people can get up there and they can crack jokes and they have that type of personality. That is not him. Never has been. But people kiss his ass and, you know, he has to make sure he has a picture taken with everybody who signs. Right? Because it's all about him. It's all about Hunter. It's all about Paul. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man.
It makes me so uncomfortable that they say the Triple H era. He continues to talk
about shit. Yeah, if it did, he would say, we're not calling this the Triple H era. Right?
Yeah.
But he does because he loves it. He's so shallow.
Yeah. And when I watch Backlash, you know, the then, now, forever, I think that's his voice saying that at the beginning.
Of course it is. Just like, remember the NXT shows when we are, like, every one of them had to start with him in the ring. He had to let you know, me, I'm giving this to you, me. Talk about me, how great I am. I'm going to get a picture taken with Kevin Steen when he comes in here because it's all about me. Like, I cannot find a person, now that Vince, now that the rapist is gone, like, I cannot find a person in professional wrestling that I like less than him. And again, this wouldn't even be a story if you weren't so goddamn insecure. You know, Mike, I got bad news. We are never going to get our cheese boards.
No, but I guess John Muse is saying that SRS and Mike Johnson got their cheese boards. Mike Johnson went after this Lucas kid from France. And you know what? We were on this show and we used to say, because we don't really like Dave Shearer. Dave Shearer seemed like he was kind of the enemy because I feel like Dave Shearer is in the bag for WWE. He's doing anti-AEW content in order to get money. We kind of see through what he's doing, and he's got very bizarre behavior on his website. So we were always saying, like, Mike Johnson was a dignified guy and he should get out of there. But in fact, his behavior the last 2 weeks, one, attacking Dave Meltzer for reporting accurately that Mike Johnson was not allowed into the WrestleMania press conference. And then this week, whenever that kid in France mentions that PW Insider ran a report that Drew Gulak got released instead of his contract did not get renewed, he went after that kid too for false reporting. This guy, Mike Johnson, is a scumbag, big time scumbag. He's right up there with Dave Shearer now.
So I don't know if this person wants me to reveal something, but I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a journalist, not a friend of yours, Mike, a friend of mine who, you know who I'm talking about. So, you know, think about what I did this week. So like, he, it's funny. He said that I think a lot of people are starting to understand that Mike Johnson is not so different than Dave Scherer. Just based on us. And I'm like, you're right, dude. You are 100% right.
Yeah. And they've been together for like 25 years. So it makes sense. So I'm like, shit, I was giving Mike Johnson credit all those years and I really should not have been. He just hasn't been as active on his public behavior just had not been bizarre yet, but it's very much in there. And he's like, yeah, same guy.
Well, Dave Scherer's mentally, and he puts that on display for everyone to see. Like PW Insider, aside from being like a 1990s era website where, you know, if you visit there, like you need a condom to visit the website. You're just going to get all kinds of viruses just by like, you know, clicking into it in your browser. Like it's just that whole thing is fucked up, man. Mike Johnson really did a lot of damage to his Q rating.
His credibility. His
credibility. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word, but he got a cheese board. So, you know, good for him.
He got the cheese board. Every time I go to PW Insider, I feel like I'm downloading something from LimeWire or like Morpheus, like that.
Showing a rage, man. Showing a rage.
Showing a rage, yeah. So it was discussed. You're the one that sent me this story, so I'll let you talk about it. But Warner Brothers and I believe Disney are looking at a possible Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max merger of the streaming services. I don't know if like they could do a bundle package or do like an all-in-one app or something like that, but that looks like we're going to get like a super streamer coming here pretty soon.
We've been talking about this for a while. Like on my other show, Superhero Speak, we've been talking about this since about 2019 when the streaming wars really kind of started really cranking up. I said on that show back then, I said, we're going to reach peak market saturation and you're going to see contraction. And we've been seeing that for the last year or so. And this announcement, again, Zaslav has been looking for a partner for a long time. He was looking to merge. There were rumors that they were going to merge with Viacom. There are rumors they were going to merge with Comcast. And neither of those really came through. But the idea of them merging Max with Disney, I mean, quite honestly, as a fan, you put AEW on there, everything I want is right there. Yeah. Like, I got X-Men. I got wrestling. You got movies that I like, you know, some cartoons. Like, I mean, I'm in. I'm on board. A lot of people are saying, oh, this is like cable. Cable's back. It's like cable. Ah, the difference is cable had royalties for the creators. The streaming systems really don't. So it's actually more sinister than that.
Yeah, I think they will eventually. And I think that like Amazon, Peacock, and Paramount will probably end up merging or something like that. And then we'll just have like three mega streamers. We'll have Netflix, and then we'll have the Disney Time Warner, and then we'll have, you know, Peacock with, you know, Paramount. I think Paramount's probably going out of business here pretty soon. They'll probably get swallowed up by one of them anyway. They're not doing so hot.
I just need them to do Frasier season 2 and they can do whatever. As long as they finish Frasier season 2, we're okay.
Well, they need to do another Paw Patrol movie because they've been watching the same two for weeks now.
So it's funny because like for a generation, right? Our parents' generation specifically, you had ABC, CBS, and NBC. You had the big three. Right. Fox challenges that in 86. And now you have four networks and then you have some UHF stations and then the proliferation of cable kind of rises up. So it seems to me like we're coming full circle. We've gone from three networks and then an explosion. And now you're having a contraction. Right. And now you're going to wind up, like you said, but I said that too on Superhero Speak a long time ago. We're going to wind up about three or four big streamers. And that's going to be where we're at. And then you'll have a lot of boutique stuff like your TNA, for example, or your what's that? The horror one that I can't think of at the moment.
Shudder.
Thank you. Yeah. Shudder, stuff like that. So, yeah. This is the future. You know, WWE figured this out a good 2 years ago.
And that's why they're moving over to Netflix. I know they're going to still have a presence on cable with a SmackDown on USA and a presence on broadcast, but I think eventually all that stuff's just going to go to streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, why? Streaming
is where it's at. Honestly.
It is. Yeah. For now, like, it's that was the big con. And this is the problem, too, is the writers and the directors, they signed their contracts. They didn't like where they went. But I mean, like, it's still kind of uncharted territory. Like, we don't have solid reporting and solid numbers coming out of the streamers like we do with cable and with network, quite frankly. So they can't figure out the royalty system, right? It's not great right now. Well, it's just going to hurt. I mean, it's just going to hurt the people that are creating these things and because they live on their royalties.
Yeah, I think eventually they're going to get it figured out. It's only a matter of time before they get it figured out. And you know what Peacock and Paramount Plus have done, I'm a subscriber to both, is they also, like, their linear broadcast network stations are on there. So, like, you can, if you do the premium version on Peacock, you can get NBC. And so I can just, like, I don't even need cable. I have my cousin's password, but if something happens, like, I have, like, NBC and CBS now, and I'm kind of, like, good at that point. I won't have Fox, though, for the NFL, which would suck. But I think eventually, like, they're all going to just be available on streaming. And I'm in a military house, so I can't, like install an antenna on my roof right now. But if I have my own house, and a lot of people are doing this, they're kind of going back to having antennas on the roof. So that way they can get the, look, if they can just get the local stations and then just bypass cable altogether, and they can just have, like, these streamers, like, you might not be able to watch the cable channel live at this point, which I think that's coming eventually. You can get all the shows on demand. So, like, all the stuff on FX immediately, like, by midnight goes to Hulu. And then all the stuff that's on, like, USA, except for wrestling, but the stuff that goes on, that's on USA and NBC and all that, like, that home, it all, like, by midnight, it goes to Peacock. So you can watch all that stuff. It really is kind of a cool deal, and that's the future of everything. And so cable is dying a slow death, but it's going to be happening before our very eyes, probably within the next 5 years or so.
Possible. I mean, like I said, I haven't had a cable subscription in 10 years. So, it's lasted longer than I think. And I often wonder how much the pandemic kind of changed just the thing. Right. Like, I think it changed a lot of our consumption habits. It's changed a lot of businesses, the way people went in business. I wonder if this truncated the streaming wars, or if this actually breathed life into them. I don't think I know the answer to that question. I'd like to talk to some people that know a little bit more than I do about this. Like, I'm fairly well versed on it, but not a professional or anything. I'd love to see what someone who knows it really thinks about how the pandemic affected this in the long run.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, I know it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero. You have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing slab packs from arenaclub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy slab packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to. Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club slab packs. They're better than those mystery packs because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, you get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club slab packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided, an explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? Whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
Yeah, I think those studies need to happen, and I think they're going to happen here pretty eventually. Hey, a couple more topics, and then I just kind of want to toss it to the crew here in the comment section, guys. I see all your comments. I'm going to get to those here pretty soon. I actually see a topic that I really want to take a look at. But so did you see the drunk Flair incident? Like Flair being drunk and getting kicked out of a bar is not that uncommon. But did you see the video of him getting kicked out?
I did not.
So he was pretty belligerent at a bar and was like threatening a guy, calling him names. One name actually, I think I tweeted out, but he called him Nicholas Dickhead, which I think like every person in my life that is named Nicholas, that is just now their name. Like, this is what I'm gonna call him. He said he was trying to ask him what his name is. He said Nicholas. He goes, oh yeah, Nicholas Dickhead. And I was like, yes. And then I think he called him, I don't know if it was trying to be a racial slur, but it certainly came off that way. He called him an Egyptian. I don't even know what that was supposed to mean. I don't know if the guy was Egyptian. It was like so bizarre. Anyway, he is drunk and belligerent and being mean, threatening to fight people, being Flair, but it all gets caught on video. And I guess my question to you, and I'll pitch it to the chat too. Should AEW like cut ties with this guy by now? Like this guy, like, I don't know. Like I know that he's paying to kind of be a part of their company, but it just seems like, I don't know, man. It, like this week was just like, I know that's not, it's pretty typical Flair behavior. Like that's what you get, but the video was not cool.
If Flair was on the TV show week after week, I'd say, yeah, cut him loose. In reality, he hasn't been part of the show since Greensboro. And that was in February or early March. So
yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? Use him less than they're using him? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. They're just getting paid to have his logo on the show, the Woo interview or whatever.
Right. And they're getting paid for that. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of backlash. I mean, like, it's Flair. Like, in the grand scheme of Ric Flair stuff, this is pretty minor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could question whether or not they should have brought him in to begin with. But sure. I mean, look, he's Ric Flair. But, and when you bring Ric Flair, even at his advanced age, you can expect that he's going to get into a drunken altercation and that people are going to film that and they're going to be posting that.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, we think we're all can all agree on this. He's an alcoholic, right? This is what happens with that. I got a lot of complicated thoughts on alcoholism. So this is not the forum for me to go into that, but, addiction is a problem. And like, these are, my man.
They're 8 years right there.
Proud of you.
Thanks.
My dad never made it to that. So, you know, that's not the time or place for that talk, but that Ric Flair, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Looks like the chat's starting to blow up. Io wants to talk about, said another time, Mike headed to his first GCW event in Hawaii in November.
I know why Io suggested put this one up. Mike kind of got put in his place a little bit by old guy, by a guy we kind of bury sometimes on the show. Even I had to tip my cap to old Sean Ross Sapp on this one.
Yeah. I think that was a pretty good line by Sean. So
it was.
Sean Ross Sapp broke the story. He essentially shared the poster for GCW in Hawaii that I'm sure Brett Lauderdale sent him. So, but anyway, he shared the poster, said the GCW is coming to Hawaii in November, and Io tagged me in it. And I said, it's in Waikiki. That's 15 minutes from my house. I'll be there. And Sean goes, well, you better ask tough questions at the press conference. And of course, to which I replied, Brett Lauderdale will never know what hit him. If GCW ever did have a press conference, I would be there. But I don't think that they're actually have a press conference.
It's a great gag, though. Brett Lauderdale ain't answering no questions about nothing. And second of all, are you really going to go to a GCW show, you fucking hypocrite?
Oh, I'm a total hypocrite. But I did tell the boys in the Voices of Wrestling Slack channel that, look, I'm starved to go to a wrestling show. The people just don't come here, man. Yeah. And so if I can get like a couple of indie stars and a couple of TNA guys, like I'm happy. Like I'll go check that out because I just don't get any GCW or I don't get anything out here. So, but I did tell the guys in the VOW Slack, I promised them that if Alley Catch wrestled, I would just go take a shit.
What's the difference?
Yeah, like the same thing is happening. Like she's right. shitting in the ring, I'm shitting in the toilet. So,
God, we're mean. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I've never been to a GCW. GCW, I don't know. I don't know if you get the full GCW experience in Hawaii, but yeah, why not? That's like 50th State Wrestling is a thing anymore. Like, you don't get a lot of shows out there. So I would too if I were you.
You know, we have an indie company out here, and they run like once a quarter, but they run on Thursday nights. And it's only once a quarter, and they'll bring in one star. And it's usually like, I think like last time it was Mercedes Martinez. And I'm like, okay, you guys got to do a little bit better than that for me to postpone my show to go to an indie show at a bar downtown on a work night.
What a terrible night to run.
I typically do not do anything on work nights. I just like I'm in bed by like 9:30, so I don't want to go to downtown Waikiki on a work night. But so they typically run late. Yeah, school night. They typically run on Thursday night, so I just have not gone. But if GCW runs a weekend, I'll probably go. But here's the problem. It's like 2 weeks after my son's supposed to be born, so that might complicate it. You know what I mean? Like, so I'll have to work it out with the wife. I'm not going to buy tickets anytime soon. I'm just going to wait and, you know, see in like day of if they're still available. And like wife is good, like baby's doing good. You know, they don't need any coverage from dad at home. I might just drive down there and go check it out.
I went to a Ring of Honor pay-per-view after Andy's christening. And his christening was 5 hours away from where the pay-per-view was. So I literally finished lunch, wife, I'll see ya, and then drove back to Chicago so I could watch Okada and Moose team up against Michael Elgin and somebody that I forget.
Yeah.
Good show.
All right. What else we got in the chat? So this guy, RK, says, you guys need to bring back dumb tweets for the guy. Basically said, she got what she deserved because of what she wears tweet about the Sky Blue heckler the other night. So I guess Sky Blue got heckled. Like this guy was saying like super like disgusting, like sexual comments towards Sky Blue. And I guess he had his kid with him when he was doing that. And he ended up getting kicked out.
Good.
Yeah. So look. And so what the guy made the tweet and he was being an agitator. He was trying to get attention. And unfortunately, that's exactly what he got. So everybody played along. I saw the tweet. I didn't retweet it. I didn't quote tweet. I didn't comment on it because the guy was looking for attention and I'm just above him. But a lot of people fell for it, unfortunately. But this idiot, and he's very much an idiot, said, you know, she's basically the gist of it was, you know, she was wearing super revealing clothing. So she got what she deserved. So, like she was asking for it essentially. And no, that's not the case. She's wearing her wrestling, like, you know, outfit. Right. Like you don't get to go and say those things because it's not only about her, like the performer, because look, people have been saying wild shit to performers for years, but you got kids in the audience around you. You got your own kid. You don't talk like that in public, you idiot. Right. He deserved to get kicked out and he's lucky he didn't get his ass whooped. You know, remember this story years ago where at a Ring of Honor show, I think in like Washington or Oregon, where this one dude was kind of being accused of heckling, I think Angelina Love or somebody like that. Yeah. And Bully Ray pulled the guy into the back and kind of like intimidated him a little bit, told him not to talk like that. And then he said, now go be a fan. I was on Bully Ray's side. I was on Team Bully Ray. And a lot of people said he was out of line for correcting that motherfucker. But I was on his side because I don't think that's appropriate.
No, I agree. And I guess because specifically it was Bully Ray, like the internet fans kind of went against it because everything, if you're from the Attitude Era and you say something, everything you say is bad, right? Then because you're what is the term they use? You're old or something like that. There's a phrase.
Well, and not only that, because boomer. Yeah, well, and because ECW, they said like awful stuff back then. So like, oh well, you're a hypocrite because 15, 20 years ago you said that was okay. People get older and they change and society changes. You got to change along with it. And he was telling the guy that's not appropriate anymore. We're not having it here. And he was being a locker room leader and protecting his locker room like a real man does. So God bless him.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Like, and as a dad. As a dad who brings his kid to shows, like I can't use that kind of language. I don't use it in my regular life, let alone around my child. Like you want to know where scumbag dudes come from? They come from the children of scumbag dudes, mm-hmm. right? You're raising your kid to be a piece of shit. Don't do that, man. As dads, we have to be better. Mike, you're going to have a son and it's you're gonna have the responsibility now of trying to rear young men. Like, I'm in the same boat, man. It's like you see all these problems and you see this little boy that's a piece of clay, and you can mold him, you can choose to make him a better person and a positive force in society, or you could say, well, this is the way I am, this is the way I was brought up, and you can try to make him the same way that we were growing up. And I think that you and I both agree that the language and the attitudes that people our age and even we had 20 some odd years ago are not good. Yeah. Right. I don't want Andy saying the kind of things that I said when I was in my teens and 20s. Right.
No.
So I'm not going to talk like that around him. And I'm going to teach him, we don't think like that. We don't talk like that. We don't try to sound cool, you know? So fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, look, somebody, if Twitter was around in like 1999, I get the feeling, like, if I was tweeting in 1999 and that got brought up today, I'd be done for. I probably wouldn't even have a job with the stuff that I thought was acceptable when I was a teenager. Yeah. In the late 90s. And honestly, like, a huge ECW fan, a huge fan of Howard Stern. And like, even Howard Stern, right? Like, his show has evolved. He just had Joe Biden, of all people. And I'm like, what? And he's had Hillary Clinton on his show. And I'm just like, are they going to write the Sibian? Right. I was like, are they going to write the Sibian? Like, what are we doing here? I think they used to play, I don't even want to say it, because they used to play a game with like a ping pong ball coming out of a place. Yeah. We don't even need to talk about that. But like, you know, like Howard Stern has even evolved, right? Yeah. To where he is like now has world leaders on his show. We can all grow up at some point. And so just because like you were some way in 1999, that doesn't mean you have to be the same guy in 2024.
So we always talk about in coaching, like, if you're teaching the same technique and the same setups and same everything you were doing 10 years ago, you're not growing, right? You don't have that growth mindset. The same rules apply to you, how you choose to live. And sometimes, like, you and I have talked about how sometimes we backtrack into stupid stuff that we say, right? We just sometimes you just slip and you're like, oh man, got to be better than that, right?
Yeah.
And like, but we know it, right? If you make a mistake sometimes, and you gotta correct and make, okay, I gotta be better. I didn't mean it. It's just sometimes it's just vernacular, right? We gotta be better. And like, you can't, the whole she deserved it because of how she's dressed. I mean, that's rapist. That's rapist justification. Like, that's how you sound. Like, that's gross.
You're engaging in like rape culture at that point.
Right. And okay, we're two 40-year-old dudes that are fairly masculine dudes. I don't think anybody could use us for any, you know, we're dudes, like, and we're talking about like contributing to rape culture. That's a real thing, right? It's dehumanizing of women, and we have to be better than this, man. Yeah. We have to be better than this.
We do. And you know what? And like, I think I remember like in my 20s, someone's like, you're probably going to have a daughter one day and you're going to regret a lot of the stupid things you're saying. I was like, boy, were they right. Because the way I was behaving back then is, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, if my daughter meets anybody like me from when I was in my 20s, I'd be like, knock him out. You know what I mean? like it's just wild. But, we always, like, as King of the North says, we always have to adapt. Absolutely.
It's life.
And I says props to Audrey, the referee, immediately for security.
Audrey.
Yeah. And honestly, I think all of you that probably went that rallied against Bully Ray for what he did, I think you guys owe him an apology, because he was way ahead of the curve on that one. I was really the only one out there on his side during that thing. And then, all right, what else you guys got? Chat. Let's see. Lucha Doncic says Mike Santana versus Matt Riddle confirmed for House of Glory Wrestling. According to Dobby in the BFI chat, Dobby breaking news. I don't know. I'm sure that's true, but that sounds like a pretty cool match. Mike Santana doing big things out there. Good for him. Are you all caught up on X-Men 97?
No, I'm two episodes behind.
Yeah, me too. I think. Yeah, so did the finale happen yet?
Finale was yesterday.
Okay, so here's what I want to do for next week. Let's catch up. Okay. And like, let's do kind of a X-Men 97 kind of like talk about like an overview of the season
on the free show or on the Patreon show.
Probably Patreon. Let's do Patreon. And then let's do that for
overtime this week.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be our overtime show for next week. Absolutely. Yeah.
because it's the best show on TV. I've just, you know, finals and stuff like that have been slimy. The life of a teacher in late May, or May, I should say, little sketchy, little busy. So I love this show so much. I want to talk about it. I need to do a JD Oliva project because I just finished a book that I really liked. And I gotta talk about it because I put like my book recommendations on my Facebook page and like, you know, three people react to it. So I want to get these thoughts out there. Maybe it's better if I just like do it here for like the people that like enjoy listening to our bullshit. So
yeah. So how was Dynamite last night? So I watched the beginning part of it. I've seen like the first hour, I would say. I have not gotten to Adam Copeland versus Brody King, but how was the show overall? And what do we think about the direction that they're heading into as we get into Double or Nothing coming up?
I loved Copeland King. Adam Copeland has become like my favorite performer. I think he's done a fantastic job adapting to AEW. We had talked to a friend of ours who doesn't like the House of Black stuff. And I can't disagree with it. I mean, they've straddled the spooky line. Like no one's got maybe sometimes, I don't know. Like there's no one that has magic powers. I'm of the mind that if you get misted and you're a piece of shit to begin with, it's just like, you know, you're a piece of shit. So, I try not to think of it as magic. I think of it as just like, it's a justification for being an asshole. As far as the creative direction of the show right now, I will say this. I enjoyed the work rate of Harley Cameron and Mariah May quite a bit. good wrestling. Enjoyed it. I'll be honest, man. I think the show's flat right now. I think we're in a creative lull. I think Tony Khan, you know my honest opinion? I think Tony Khan's burnt out.
Yeah.
I think he's burnt out creatively.
Yeah. We discussed it on Overtime on Sunday that he was kind of burnt out. And I'll be honest, and maybe I'm just a little bit burnt out because I had the opportunity to watch the whole show last night. I did. I had the TV to myself for like 2.5 hours, maybe almost 3 hours, because my wife and kid were doing other activities, and then my wife put my kid down to bed, and then she immediately went to bed right after that. So I had the time, but I was catching up on X-Files reruns. like I was like, you know, I really should watch Dynamite. So I got up at 4 this morning to go for my run. I'm training for my fitness test in a couple of weeks. I'm getting pretty close to where I want to be. And so I immediately got back and I watched the first hour of it. And then after we get off the air here, I'll finish it. I did see the ratings. Looks like the ratings were up a little bit. So I guess that's a pretty good sign. The demo god himself lost viewership like significantly, I guess.
Speaking of burnt out.
Yeah. Speaking of burnt out, I think, and we've talked about this before. I think it's time for Jericho to go away for a while.
I agree. I've said it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. He needs to go away. He needs to get himself back in shape. And that's not me fat shaming. You can just tell the difference between an in-shape Jericho and an out-of-shape Jericho. Mm-hmm. And right now, the guy is out of shape. And I think that's a fair comment to make because he's an athlete. And so mm-hmm. you can say that about athletes. The guy is just out of shape right now. And you can tell he's probably running a little bit too hard and he's in his 50s. And so it's probably time to go away for a little bit and come back. And in fact, I actually sent a message to King of the North last week because Matt Hardy looks great. He's got abs like in the best shape of his life. And I sent him a message like, hey, Matt Hardy's looking better than Jericho is right now, dude. Cause he's been giving me crap about Hardy being in TNA. But I don't think this learning tree thing is working for me with Jericho, but I'm with you. I think, you know, it might not be drawing big ratings and big money, but I like the Adam Copeland stuff. I think he's great.
Me too.
You know what? And like, he's a guy that was a WWE system guy for 20 years and he's finally out of the system. And he's like getting to do all this cool, new, exciting stuff. And like the twilight of his career kind of made me wonder like what it would look like if like a Randy Orton or somebody like that, you know, like ventured over and did some AEW stuff. Like I know Randy Orton's probably never going to do that because of the whole Jacksonville Dixie thing that happened, but you know, just somebody like that. I think it's kind of cool seeing him in this environment and what he's able to do.
Like I said before, I've been on board with this Copeland thing from the whole time. Like I didn't like his WWF stuff where he was WWE stuff where he's sitting there and monologuing and doing the thing in the chair. But that worked for that audience. And I respect him for understanding the differences of the audience. Right. And his work is really good right now. Like I just enjoy watching him work, and like he comes across like a star, and he's never been a big draw. Like it's just throughout his whole career, he's a great guy to have, and I think him playing like the locker room, like he is the guy that CM Punk claimed he would be, right?
Yeah.
Locker room leader, helping people out. You know, I don't want to be in the main event. All these young guys, like Adam Copeland's actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that I just like this run, and he's not in a position where he has to be the guy who draws. They'll put him in some main events with some TVs, but I mean, that's like it. And that's fine. I mean, like, you need a guy that you can put in a TV main event on occasion that can do good pay-per-view matches that people have a connection to. They're always going to pop when they hear Ridge. I think he's been a fantastic pickup for this company. I bought the Pure Plank. For God's sakes. What a great device. By the way.
Yeah. You know what I'm not really feeling either, is the Orange Cassidy Trent Beretta thing. And I was like interested at first because I've just never been interested in Trent Beretta. But I was like, hey, you know what? Let me see what this guy can do as a heel. Let me just see. And I think I've seen enough. I think I'm kind of over it already. The match was okay. You know, they did some brawling and stuff like that. But and the angle afterwards, I just didn't find it to be very good. I think the bringing in Don Callis, I don't know if it helps or hurts it. I'm probably going to take a wait-and-see approach. But I think that whole thing is just kind of cooled off for me.
I agree. I like Trent's work. But that's always been the thing. Is Trent's a good work? But, I mean, like, his charisma is just goofy, right? Which is why the best friends kind of work. But it's comedy stuff. Like, you can't ever, like, push him. Like, Orange Cassidy is special. Right.
Yeah.
Like he is comedy, but he can also, when he gets going, it's really good, which is that's the Orange Cassidy gang. Always has been. I think Orange kind of needs to go away a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's been nothing added to him since losing the international belt it was the international belt. Like he's felt very flat. Like I'll be honest, man. I think he's burnt out creatively right now.
Yeah, I think he's burnt out creatively, and I think Joe and Rich brought this up on their show last week that they're not pushing the right people. Like, you know, Will Ospreay is going for like the whatever title, the international title, and
is he
Mercedes Moné should be absolutely challenging Tony Storm, and then eventually defending the title against Willow versus going for the TBS title. Like nobody, like what are we doing? You know what I mean? And then Okada is. Really my Okada Continental champion, but you know, I kind of like the fact that Christian's kind of a weak challenger for Swerve. You kind of almost want like Okada in that position, but then again, you don't want Okada to lose, so there's that issue. Like the whole thing just seems like kind of a mess heading into Double or Nothing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The company is a mess right now. Like we were in a good spot coming out of Revolution into Dynasty. Things were looking pretty good post Dynasty. Yeah. it's a disaster right now. Like they're not pushing the right people. Like Tony, he's off. Like and Rich put it really good on their show last week where it's like, excuse me. I see what the Elite is doing right now and they're doing it well, but, and I agree with Rich. You said like, I just don't want to see control of the company storylines from AEW because we saw that for 20 years in WWF. Yeah. And WWE, and we saw it in WCW, and TNA, I want the company to be in control of the company. I just want wrestlers to wrestle for titles. Like I don't give a flying fuck who controls the company. I don't care who's got the power to make matches. Like that's not the sports based stuff that I wanted. This is what I'm talking about. I think that. And again, every time someone from WWE gets released, people go, oh, you got to, I love your jokes. Like, oh, they got to hire this mailroom guy from WWE. I mean, who else knows how to sort the mail? Like,
yeah.
I just want something different and they're not doing it. I'll say this, Jack Perry's been pretty good since coming back. And all of a sudden, he knows how to cut a promo.
Yeah, I think Jack Perry's doing very good. Mm-hmm. I like the matchmaking for the Elite versus Team AEW. The problem is they're calling it Team AEW.
It's so uninspired.
It's like they all work for AEW.
Yeah, it's so that's like it's very something WCW would have done. Like it's just I went really.
Oh, JD, this is gonna warm your heart. We got a super chat, and the super chat is burying Triple H. So, my new favorite listener. Glassdoor Gamer. He's got a Mario avatar. He said, no one was excited to talk about Triple H in the Attitude Era. Most overrated, boring POS creatively. He sucked when NXT went to 2 hours. Great show.
Thanks, man.
Glassdoor Gamer. I completely agree with you because NXT, I would say from 2014 to 2017, when it was just 1 hour a week, was my favorite wrestling show. It really was. And there's a lot of stars from that era that, like, some of them are like available like right now. Like Sanity is like out there, and I'm like begging TNA to pick up Sanity because I just thought that was such a cool faction. Eric Young is already in TNA. You got Sanity out there working indies, or back as a tag team. So, and then I went to the, I think it was 2015, the big San Jose show, like the first ever takeover that they did, like their biggest, their first big show outside of Orlando. I was there, and they had so many cool matches and so many, like, it was just like an awesome thing to be a part of. But once they went to 2 hours, and once they decided they were going to try to take on AEW and they failed miserably, the show has really sucked, and it has not really been that great ever since. We have not had like a, like an amazing, amazing takeover special, because those takeover specials were kind of, were basically like what people are saying about AEW pay-per-views right now. That was takeover specials back then. And they were always awesome.
Hey, that's $5 Canadian too. So thank you very much. That's more than $5. Can you please pull up King of the North tweet comment? Cause that made me laugh.
Yeah.
King of the North says, JD's face lighting up, knowing someone paid to bury Triple H bought me so big. The King just gets me, man. He just gets me.
Yes. Yes. I'm gonna put Glassdoor back up. But JD, comments on the burial of Triple H and the downfall of NXT.
What more can I say that hasn't been said? This is 100%. I'll be honest with you. The Reign of Terror chased me away from being a fan of WWE, because there's nothing more boring than Triple H cosplaying Ric Flair. Like, Evolution was a knockoff horseman. It wasn't that great. It wasn't that interesting. It was a terrible era in WWF. Watch those shows. They're Triple H. Just, I don't know, man. I've never gotten it. I never understood. Like, in the Attitude Era, we had Rock and Austin, these generational performers. You had, you know, Chris Jericho and like these guys from WCW. And I hate to say it, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. Yeah. Like, these guys were in. They were so good. And then there was Triple H, this big juiced up dude who, like, he worked hard. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I never watched a Triple H match and went, God damn, this dude. Never. Not one time. Like, the walk-in brawls are boring. I just don't get it. I never understood.
You know, the first pay-per-view I ever went to was Fully Loaded 1998 in the Celland Arena in Fresno, California. And the co-main event of that show was Triple H, DX era Triple H, so 1998, versus Nation of Domination era The Rock. That was the co-main event.
I remember that.
It was best 2 out of 3 falls match, and I loved that match. And then they had a ladder match the next month, and I thought that was pretty good as a Madison Square Garden. I think the crowd heat probably made it even better. Mm-hmm. And then after that, everybody just started to skyrocket, and he was getting left behind. You know, Stone Cold was already a megastar at that point. And The Rock becomes a megastar. Mankind is like over like crazy in 1998. Undertaker starts getting more over, and Triple H is getting left behind, and he's kind of like forcing his way in there. And that's where the criticism of, you know, him becoming Stephanie's boyfriend, and then, like, you know, and that's not to say that the guy's not talented. He is. Like, the guy can work, and the guy has some charisma. His promo ability has never been great, but he's like a passable promo, you know what I mean? And so whenever Austin and Rock left, they left Triple H as the top guy, and that was a massive failure, and business declined greatly year over year over year over year, and they could not wait to get John Cena into that position. So if you go back and look at it, like 2003 to like 2006 was just the Reign of Terror that you're talking about. And then finally they handed over the reins to John Cena. And I was not a John Cena fan, to be honest with you. I just wasn't. But they just could not wait to get it over into John Cena's hands. So that took, you know, it was necessary, because Triple H was essentially killing business and driving people away. John Muse says, you could do a show on AEW booking and ways to improve. You know who should come onto that show and do that?
I was going to say, you could do a show on AEW booking and ways to improve, my friend.
Yeah. 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 John Muse, you're welcome on the show. And I would love that. I would love that.
We've been bugging you to do that for years.
Yeah. Hold on. Glassdoor Gamer sent us another 5 spot. Thank you, sir. He said that Rock promo about Triple H tonight. I am going to say absolutely nothing for 20 minutes. It's still valid. His pressers are the same. Yeah. Like he did the same. Like, I'm the game. I'm in charge. My wife has knockers.
She does have knockers. Like, yes, that is true.
The game.
I hate him so much. Like, I just, you know what's funny about WWF booking is it was such a babyface territory from Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Backlund, Hogan, you know, Bret Hart, Steve Austin. One heel dominated that company for years. One, Triple H. I'll never get it.
Yeah.
I'll never get it.
Yeah, until Roman Reigns, right? But he, because Triple H was such a Flair fan, he tried to turn WWE into Crockett, and WWE just could not capture that. You know what I mean? And he tried to become Ric Flair. In fact, he did Evolution and Knockoff of the Four Horsemen, had Ric Flair in the group. Now it stunk for the most part, but like don't get mad at me, but I really liked the Batista feud.
Well, that's
I personally did. Yeah. I thought they did that very well.
Do you know why? Because Dave Bautista freaking rules. That's why that's why he's a major motion picture star.
Yeah.
The star. Because he's awesome. Of course that was great. I agree with you 100% on that. Bautista freaking rules. So, yeah. But it wasn't Triple H. Drax is great, man. And remember, they weren't going to push. Remember, like, he wanted to do stuff, and Triple H is such a genius. He's like, nobody's going to go see that Guardians movie. Blah, blah, blah. Fucking moron.
King of the North says, Mike is a big nose ring spot fan. I was a big fan of that nose ring. You know what I'm talking about, JD?
No.
So a couple years ago, it was probably several years ago, they were doing this big celebration for Ric Flair's 70th birthday. And at the end of the episode, when Flair was supposed to come down, all the wrestlers in the ring, they're going to welcome Flair down for the 70th birthday. And then Batista comes out of nowhere, had not been on Raw in years, attacks Triple H.
Yeah.
And then during the match, so they did Triple H versus Batista. I think that might have been Triple H's last match.
It was
one of his last matches.
Yeah.
During the match, they pulled the nose ring out. And I love that. And I'll tell you why. Because nose rings are not allowed in the Air Force. They're not allowed. They are not. And so we had somebody recently that was at work in uniform with a nose ring in, and somebody texted me, said, hey, so-and-so from this section has got a nose ring in. Can you handle it? And I went and told that member supervisor, I said, you tell her to take that nose ring out right now, or I'm coming down with pliers and I'm taking them out for her. She never wore the nose ring again. So I'm a big fan of the nose ring spot. I love that because I am like on a nose ring hunt for people in uniform and nose rings. I'm out to get them.
That's a hell of a threat. Yeah. I'll be honest.
They also knew that I was full of it. I wouldn't actually do that. But
oh, no, you have to threat, though. That's a great threat. That's a dad threat.
Yeah.
Guy with a nose ring, not a good look at all. Really quite stupid. Girl with a nose ring, kind of a fan.
Yeah, well, you know, but I thought that was part. Yeah, I know. I thought that was part of the heat, though. For
well, it was. That's why it worked.
Ridiculous with the blue nose ring.
Yeah, that's why it worked. Totally worked. Like, that's in the spot. Like, yeah, no, totally worked just fine. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know, girl with the nose ring. Yeah, it's good luck.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're gonna close it up. I'm gonna get to these last chats. John, you said we'll figure something out. Hey, look, you open the door, brother. We're gonna annoy you until you come on.
We have your phone number. Don't forget that.
I might just I figure out a way to just call him live on the air and just put him on.
We'll sandbag our buddy.
Glassdoor Gamer says
Triple H is not going to last. You know what's going to happen if he gets fired from WWE? They're going to hire him to book AEW. I just know that.
Yeah.
Because that's my luck. Yeah. That's how that's going to happen. Look,
we can say whatever we want about it. Like right now, him and Nick Khan and Lee Fitting, they're actually like doing a pretty good job. Right.
Yeah,
they're on fire right now. So I don't think as long as they're on fire and he doesn't get in trouble, I think he's not going anywhere. But I would not be surprised if stuff comes out about him too. But I'm not going to say anything more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Io says I slept off during Raw. I don't know what that means.
It means he fell asleep during Raw.
Oh, I do. I fall asleep during Raw all the time. It's a boring ass show.
And Glassdoor says, once the crowd turns on him, it's inevitable because WWE fans are fickle. That's true. He is going to be gone. I think if business starts to decline, they would probably end up getting rid of him. But I honestly think the guy is cemented in there.
I agree.
You know, he's going to be in there as long as humanly possible. Someday I'll be as popular as Ebu, and I'll get Mike on, and I'll get on the Mike and JD show. You got a welcome invite, brother.
Yeah, open door.
Next time we'll do a call-in show here pretty soon. We almost talked about doing that since we had no format, but when I do a call-in show, I want to give everybody advance notice so they can be prepared. And so we'll try to do a call-in show, and I'll make a plan of it. I'll advertise it. And King of the North, you'll be on the show. I want to get you on. And then I want to get Ebu back on here. I'm sure he's got a lot going on. It's been a while since we talked to old Ebu.
Yeah.
And then he said JD and I can bury Triple H for an hour. Hell, you guys can just do a full show. Burying Triple H.
I have I would look very forward to that. Yeah. Never gonna get that cheese board. Never.
Never. Never. All right, guys. I think that is gonna do it for us this time. I really, really appreciate you guys. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Please support the show. Give us a big thumbs up. Make sure you're a subscriber. Lay down a comment and share the show. And then if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, make sure to share the show there. Give a 5-star review. Let Joe and Rich know that you like the show. I'd really appreciate it, because eventually they're gonna start paying us a lot of money. And we're just gonna, like, I'm gonna retire from the military. And JD is going to quit teaching, and we're just going to live off being able to talk to our friends on the internet. That's the dream one day. Not going to happen.
I was going to say, what are you on, my friend?
Yeah. But yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.